This is the KBOK Heart of the Arts podcast. I'm Greg Kostraba. The Takacs Quartet will be in performance at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts on Friday, March 22nd, with a program that includes music by Haydn, Beethoven, and a new work by Phoenix composer Nokutula Nguinyama. Edward Dusenberry is a violinist in the quartet, and he's on the phone from Colorado. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for chatting with us. The Takacs Quartet celebrating its 49th season this year, and you're busier than ever. A couple of dozen performances in March and April alone across the U.S. How do you explain your longevity in a world where chamber music ensembles come and then they go?
There's a number of different factors. And of course, we need good luck. We've had this wonderful residency at the University of Colorado in Boulder for many, many years. Group actually moved here in 1986. So that's been a wonderful community and support to us, of course, particularly during the pandemic. And then I think the flexibility of the original founding members of the group. I was the first non-Hungarian to infiltrate the group in 1993. And I'm still working with András, who we've been working together for 31 years. He's the founding cellist. When I think about him and the number of changes that he's been through in the group, there's always an open-mindedness to a new player coming in and then the invigorating new ideas, but it requires flexibility and a kind of awareness that there are many, many different ways to play string quartets. So I think those things have helped us, and we're very lucky with our managers as well, who've been stalwart and very supportive through the inevitable kind of ups and downs of quartet life.
And I was noticing the programs that you're doing over these couple of months, and then you're headed to the UK after that. There is just so much repertoire that you have under your fingers. How are you able to keep so much? Do you have to practice together 4, 5, 6 hours a day to make this continue to keep the music up? Because I know it's not that, can't be that easy.
Yeah, you're right. When we're in town in Boulder, as well as teaching here, we have our own studio, and that's where we kind of prepare our program. That's when the really hard work happens. And we meet sort of 5 or 6 days a week for, we're not too crazy now, it's maybe 3.5 hours or something like that together. And we have, particular times of the year where we get new repertoire in, and then when we're touring with the repertoire that we've already learned in Boulder, it's more a matter of maintenance. But we do still work every day on a concert day. Typically, we'll do maybe, 90 minutes together in the morning and then another stage check for an hour or 90 minutes in the evening. So, yeah, we're playing together a lot, and, of course, also practicing individually.
So it's important when new members come in that it's a good fit.
Yeah, it's critical. I think we've been very, very lucky, actually, with all of the changes since I joined. I mean, I can't speak for myself, but we had the very sad circumstance of the founding violist, Gabor Ormai, who died of cancer just 2 years after I joined. And that was a very tough time for the quartet. And we were very lucky with my fellow Brit, Roger Tapping, who joined us for 10 years and brought a lot of stability and also wonderful musicianship and humor to the group. And then we had Jerry Wolfer, who had been principal viola in the San Francisco Symphony. She came in 2005, and she was with us for 15 years, and she brought incredible sense of enthusiasm and great performer, very spontaneous performer. She hadn't played quartets before. And so I think that's the thing that's kind of cool, is that for those of us who've been doing it a long time, when we can see it through the eyes of someone who's coming in and that kind of excitement of discovering things, that's infectious and very helpful for us. And then more recently, Harumi joined back in 2018, so she's not really new anymore. She brought wonderful energy and ideas. And we've had that same experience with Richard, who joined us at a weird time, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And we had our own bubble, really, and we kind of had a chance to incubate as a group. We did quite a lot of recording, and maybe that helped us to gel. And then, we weren't right in the concert spotlight right away in that formation. And by the time we got on the road again, we were, first of all, dying to play concerts. And we'd had quite a lot of time together.
Let's talk about this program in Scottsdale. It's so varied, with Haydn and Beethoven and a contemporary work. Is there an overall theme to this program that you had in particular for this set of three pieces? Or is it just things that just happen to work together?
Yeah, there is a bit of a theme. I mean, we asked Tula if she might be so kind to write a piece for us. She's friends with Harumi. They've known each other a long time. And we were aware that she likes to write about the natural world in various ways. And it so happened that Cal Performance is the sort of leading commissioner in Berkeley. That was their theme for this season. So we thought that would be a nice match. And then we thought, well, there are certain pieces that anyway, in terms of their nicknames, have some connection to the natural world. So the Haydn quartet we're playing is nicknamed the Sunrise for its sort of wonderfully exploratory and radiant opening. And then the Beethoven quartet we're playing, the second movement, according to a friend of Beethoven's, apparently Beethoven was inspired by sort of looking at the stars at night and the sense of the music of the spheres. So it's a wonderful evocation of music and the universe. There is a link, and Tula's written a piece, which of course you never know when you commission someone. She's written a piece that somehow miraculously pulls all that together, because her music is, it's quite accessible. And there's a wonderful sense of delight and humor, and also this kind of sense sometimes of humility, of just how small we are in the universe. And I think those qualities and that spirit are something that are very evident in the Haydn and Beethoven. So we're thrilled with the whole program, and particularly with her immense contribution to it.
I've been reading about the piece a little bit, and it sounds like all four of you are using techniques that maybe you've never even used before on your instruments.
Yeah, it's really fun. It starts off with her idea of perhaps how the universe might have sounded when it was first being formed. And so we play on the other side of our bridges from how we usually play, and that creates a very eerie, ethereal sound. And there's another place later in the piece where we actually ask to use the bow, not on the strings, but actually on the side of the instruments, or the bouts, as they're called. And that creates this kind of sense of almost like static interference. But the thing that's wondrous about the piece is that although there are these, if you like, special effects, there's also music that is very tuneful and melodic and tonal. And I think our audiences have been quite delighted, because it starts in this very surreal way, and maybe people are wondering, you know, what exactly is in store for them. But then within 20 bars, there's a sort of a wonderful sort of expansive bit of music where we're all playing very richly, and actually the music is very romantic in its aesthetic. If you look at the longer program note online, I think she has links, and there's a particular scientist who had a video that is his sort of idea of how the universe might have sounded. And it's not so much a big bang as lots of sort of creeping sounds and this kind of sense of vibration. And it's very cool. And it's always fun to play the instruments in those different ways. We're very lucky. She lives obviously quite near to us in Phoenix. And so she came out here, and she's a wonderful violist. We worked with her on the piece when we were learning it. It doesn't always happen with composers, and that was so nice. And she could just get her viola out and play things for us. So that's another thing that's been a delight for us, is to play a quartet written by a string player who really understands the instruments and is imaginative about that.
The finale of this piece I was reading mimics giant flocks of starlings. How does she do that? Is that one of the techniques you talked about, playing on the other side of the bridge?
Yeah, you know, it's really brilliant the way she does that. And it's actually quite simple. In that particular case, she has the two violins playing very high in a very close harmony with each other, sort of in thirds, and these kind of swooping downward and upward runs. And actually, it's very resonant and singing, and there's this kind of wash of sound. Again, I watched one of the videos that she sent a link of so that I could see these amazing movements of the starlings. And I think that's a very creative way that she's done it. But actually, in that case, it's using quite traditional violin technique.
It's a new piece, right? You premiered it back in November in Berkeley, and you've had a few months performing it over the course of the season. Has it gotten any easier, or at least more comfortable?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think always when you're playing a brand new piece, I mean, Tula's a lovely person, but there is an extra sort of nervous energy to having the composer there in the audience. You know, you just want to do right by the composer and their concept. She's also written a piece that's very well written for the quartet, and somehow the group sounds good playing it. And I think we felt that right at the beginning. So I would say we were never really uncomfortable with it. But I think what's changed, which is true with any any piece that's new for us is that as you play it in concert, we get more flexible with the pacing of it and a bit more spontaneous in concert. That comes with confidence. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of weird because you think of classical musicians sitting around rehearsing a lot and kind of staring at our music and maybe being a little uptight. But actually the point of that is so we can get on stage and feel quite free. So yeah, there's been a process of us becoming a little liberated and I think just enjoying it. And it's wonderful how the audiences are responding to it. We heard one person who said he doesn't generally listen to contemporary music, and he was he was sort of hoping that we could play it again in the second half instead of the Beethoven. So that's really quite a positive reaction to the piece.
And I think a lot of that has to do with how you're integrating it with the program, that it doesn't seem like, oh, here's this work that is contemporary. We have to do this. We're very sorry. We apologize. We'll get to the stuff you want to hear later.
That's a really good point. I think we were really keen to try and have a thematic program that really links. In the last few years, I think especially since Harumi joined the quartet, we've been doing more commissioning. We've done some in the past, but I think maybe the change is that the commissions in the past tended to be maybe generated by a particular presenter or promoter who liked a composer. And now we're a little bit more taking the initiative and looking around and finding music that we love and thinking about how we can really make it integrated into our own programs. And as you say, it really does help, because if you're going to play a contemporary piece, you have to be just as fully committed to it as you are to the other pieces in the program. And that's the most rewarding for us and hopefully the most fun for the audience.
After the piece, you have an intermission and people get a chance to take in everything that they've heard. And then you come back with one of the big Beethoven quartets from the middle of his career, that second Razumovsky.
Yeah. And I think one of the fun things about that is when that piece was first played in 1806 or 7, people were kind of shocked by it. And the players and the audiences didn't really like it. They didn't know what to make of it. And Beethoven said, yeah, it's not for you. It's for a later age. And I actually think that those reactions of people being shocked and really being stretched are very important to keep track of, so that when we play that piece now, I like to try and, you know, imagine that sense of surprise. And it didn't take long, actually, for the Razumovsky quartets to be better liked. It only took about 10 years, at least in the Viennese circles. But I don't think that piece should ever sound comfortable, you know, like putting on a sort of comfy pair of slippers or something. I think it always should have that sense of shock and sort of radical discovery. And I think that's why I'm loving coupling it with Tula's piece, that we have an actual contemporary piece, and then we have a piece that shocked contemporaries, and I think still has some of that same spirit about it.
Edward Dusenberry is a violinist in the Takács Quartet, which will be performing music of Haydn, Beethoven, and Nukutula Nguinyama at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts Friday, March 22nd. Ed, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much, Greg.
For KBOX Heart of the Arts podcast, I'm Greg Kostraba.